Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
It's 96. Bud Pod 96. Is that anything?
96. We're just about getting into a range of exam results that would have been acceptable from me during my primary school years.
Now, were the stereotypes true, Phil? Did you have that level of pressure in everything except the arts?
Oh, definitely. I mean, in my Chinese school in Malaysia, every teacher had a cane, and with one teacher, you got a smack with the cane for every percentage point you got off of 90.
Jesus Christ.
So if you got 89%, you got one hit. If you got 88%, you got two. I mean, God forbid if you didn't turn up and got zero, because that was 90. No, I don't think I doubt when that got that bad. But I couldn't fathom. I was like, what if someone gets 30? What if someone gets 30%?
If someone gets 30%, then it's like a scene from The Passion of the Christ. Just streaming blood and being forced to walk around the school.
Just flesh flying around the room, staining the walls.
But did this happen with English?
Oh, I don't have any recollection of our English classes in Chinese school. I've none at all. No, I remember with Chinese class, Malay class, the Malay teacher had quite a thin cane, so I didn't mind getting hit with in Malay, because the pain was very sharp and very short. The Chinese teacher, I can remember the thickness of their canes to this day. Chinese teacher had quite a thick, sturdy cane. It was the most painful. So I tried to avoid hers if I could, which was precarious, because Chinese was, you know, harder than Malay at the time.
Were these things made out of rattan or what?
That's right, yeah. We call them rotan.
Oh, man. It's funny, because normally in British media, when you interview someone about corporal punishment, they're in their sort of mid to late 60s or above.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Probably older.
That's right.
And it's always like a really like nice old man in tweed who sort of insists that it turned him into like a monster.
I couldn't believe it when I came over here, and you know, I was like, "Mummy, did you know that here it's illegal to hit children?" I was amazed.
And there's almost no mining at all.
it was like a fairy tale end to me.
Yeah, well, I mean, I was just amazed at the shit that kids could get away with. I mean, I didn't even go to a school where you got hit with sticks, but even I was kind of astonished that I was now surrounded by kids who, from my point of view, were like a kind of, you know, northern version of the kids from fucking Peter Pan.
But South Africa feels like a caney kind of place.
Yeah, it started. There are still places now where you can get caned, and it's still very much a smack your kids as a parent's place.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's been a while since the English speaking, historically white, Anglican style, if not Anglican sort of schools, would do that.
Yeah. That's a trickle down effect of child related. Scandal from the top echelons of Christianity. Is it a trickle down nervousness, I guess.
To be fair, at least in South Africa, but I mean, from what I'm told, most of Africa, the teachers could more than rely on the parents to beat the fuck out of their kids for a bad result.
Yeah, I remember some of my sort of fellow students' parents were so brutal. The teacher, if the teacher knew this, instead of threatening the kid with being caned by themselves, they would say, "I'm going to tell your father." And that would scare the kids more.
Oh, yeah. I can imagine. Oh, man. Yeah. Well, that's it. I think the beatings in South Africa these days are mostly outsourced.
Yeah.
They had a big meeting. And they said, do you know that this could be done by freelance volunteers for free?
You know, we can actually entrust this to the community.
It's a big society.
Yeah, the communities, they cane themselves much better than the institutions can.
Yeah. Look, we need to decentralize beatings.
It's time
for big government to accept that local, decentralized, federal beatings can be applied more accurately and more specifically by local representatives who are deputized, rather than some bigwig in London telling us who we should beat, and it takes months to find out.
That's right. Devolved beatings. That's what the colonial countries believe in. Devolved beatings.
Sadistic national pummeling, the SNP.
I'm trying to come up with one for Plaid Cymru, but it's far too complicated.
I love the idea of being annoyed because you only find out you need to beat your kid like 2 months late.
Right. I only find out about this now.
Huh?
As in, I only found out about this now. I've got to beat my kid. And, like, the kid's currently good.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. The kid's mended his ways and it's still too fucking late.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's also that thing with, like, dogs. Like, if you're trying to train a dog, you need to give them a treat, like, immediately after they've done the good thing, right?
Right.
Or they don't associate it. So the idea of being punished by being smacked, like, 2 months later is, like, the kind of thing you'd impose on someone to break their spirit in a camp, like Guantanamo.
I mean, Chinese school felt like Guantanamo from time to time.
It sounds like Guantanamo. How do you think it's affected you? Do you think that you're a changed man? Can you detect fellow sufferers?
In the UK, it's rare to meet anyone else who is hit at school as a kid. I don't know if I've said this, if not on this podcast and on other things, that I got a fear of authority from it.
Yeah.
Which, you know, isn't so bad anymore. And it's made me averse to risk, I think. I think you and I have spoken about my aversion to risk, and
yes,
I think Chinese school was a large part of that. Like, because, you know, the idea that a small mistake can lead to great punishment has made me very risk averse in my later life.
Yes, yeah, a little slip up, which you have to blame yourself for. Yeah, that's interesting. Oh, I wonder. Yeah, it's definitely rare in the UK, of course. I guess you'd have to basically just only ever assume someone else had it if they also went to Chinese school in Malaysia.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I wonder. That would have been funny if listeners at the time of recording last night, Boris Johnson, we're recording on Tuesday, the 5th of January, 2021. And last night, Boris Johnson came on the TV and said to everyone, "It's back! The disease is back! You'll never guess what happened when we let everyone lick each other, but the disease is back."
I mean, can you imagine if the Christmas relaxation went ahead? I mean, that's what I like to think about. It's like, wow, this is,
oh, fucking
is this
hell,
bad
yeah.
now? Like, how? Yeah, how bad would it have been? Would it have made no difference? Would everyone just be dead now, today?
Yeah. Someone on Twitter pointed out that because, you know, all their little kids had like one day of school.
Oh, right. Yeah.
So all the little kids had one day of school, which was enough. That one day was enough for a lot of kids from the areas where they did have Christmas to mix with the ones where they didn't. Just for one day.
Yeah.
You know, he's going to hold another fucking press conference today at 5.
What? Why? I think just...
I know.
Don't. I know. Don't. People won't even notice. Just don't.
He's like the Joker at this point.
Oh, yeah, because yesterday wasn't a press conference, I guess. Yesterday was just a Joker-esque announcement, and today it's taking questions, right?
Yeah, which, to be fair to Boris Johnson, the Joker never seems to be willing to let the press corps have their say.
That's right. That's right. And you know, not a lot can be said in favor of Boris Johnson in comparison to the Joker, but you have to give him credit for at least taking the occasional question.
Yes. Yeah, very few versions of the Batman universe have various people with press tickets in their trilbies saying, Mr. Joker, was it? I have some questions about the financial implications of your proposal.
Although I'm almost certain something like that did happen in the 60s Batman series. There's always wacky shit where suddenly the Joker would be opening a zoo and everyone would be like, oh, I guess I'll go and visit the zoo. even though he's been to jail 2,600 times.
Even though he's a domestic terrorist.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that's like, hey, the Unabomber just opened a goldfish shop. Shall we all go to the...
Yeah, he's probably all right now.
Yeah. Oh, I can't wait to go to Osama bin Laden's new theme park. Apparently, Westerners enter free.
It's all just burrows and hills. It's all underground and caves. And instead of getting a photograph of you on the ride, you get a grainy video.
Everyone has to wear those kind of camo jackets. there's like a haunted house ride, but it's just full of like women in bikinis and the CIA.
Yeah, just a woman showing off her ankle.
Yeah, it's just the ride is just full of secular values and Navy SEAL assassination teams,
and like Roman legionnaires. Because they're obsessed with Romans. Al-Qaeda and everything that's followed, they're obsessed with Romans. They hate the Romans, which is so old school.
They are old school. They've sort of gone, you know what, we're gonna be consistent across thousands of years here.
But what's interesting, what's funny, is that they're very comfortable to just say the Americans are the Romans now. Because they have to follow this ancient doctrine of defeating... the Romans and establishing the caliphate. But all the Romans now just sort of are in Rome, eating and drinking, and not really getting up to much, except, you know, looking good as policemen, but not really doing very much. But now the Al-Qaeda and all, they're like, well, America is... Rome. But there's real conflict of consistency there, of going like, we are still fighting the Romans, but America is Rome. So it's like, in that case, why don't we just say we are fighting America?
Yeah, why do you have to keep couching everything in that kind of language? I guess... Do the crazy Christians do that? Do they go on about... I suppose they do go on about pagans.
No, I mean, to their credit, I can't remember the last time I heard a Christian slagging off the pagans.
Heathens?
Yeah, no.
To be fair, neither of us are exposed to the rabid American style of Christianity.
That's true. Extremist Christianity has not had the prominence that extremist Islam has had in the last couple of decades. I'm sure if you were able to infiltrate the Seventh Baptist Apostle Sepulcher of Birmingham, Louisiana, consort, then you might hear some stuff about the pagans.
Yeah, if you went to a snake handler's tent to hear, and it's always someone whose name is like the Reverend Jerry Foldswell.
That's right. I get, it would be like the, what's it, the Baptist Church? What are the crazy homophobic, the one that Louis Theroux sees every weekend?
Oh, the Westboro Baptist Westboro. Church. Yeah.
That's it. Yeah, that's the equivalent, right?
Yeah, and it's funny, isn't it, that those guys are so extreme and so insane, but they have decided to just keep to themselves and just post really offensive videos and do protests. But when I say keep to themselves, obviously, I mean they pick at funerals. That's not exactly shy, but
yeah, but they're not hankering for new members. They're not out there, trying to recruit.
Yeah, they're not trying to make themselves appealing, and they haven't flown into any buildings yet.
Not yet.
They haven't taken the fight to downtown New York in quite the same way. No. I always wonder why. Like, if they're so certain of themselves, or I guess maybe, I don't know. There's no logic to it. You're a fool to search for logic in a big pile of shit.
Yeah. I mean, logic left their brains a long time ago.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I always wonder with those guys if there's like a kind of particular like magical question. Like sometimes you hear these apocryphal stories of some great philosopher who sort of broke everyone's mind with this one great statement, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like you'll hear about some guy in a toga who is in front of a crowd of ancient Greeks, and he just said something about how the sun moved, and everyone went, whoa, and then no one liked Zeus anymore, you know. Just it changed everything. Is there a way?
Like when Jesus got up on a rock and he said, don't kill your neighbors. And everyone's like, what the holy shit. This is like the nicest guy I've ever met.
Yeah, and loads of people at the back of the crowd were like, wait, did he say don't?
Honor your parents. And a guy who's just kicking his dad on the ground is like, what? Huh? Whoa, come on, Pops, get up. You got to hear this.
Hey, I've been going about this all wrong.
But I guess it's like when you're, you know, I remember doing engineering, you know, one of the lecturers said, you know, someone invented the wheelbarrow. And they go, you don't think about that something having been invented, but someone invented the wheelbarrow. And I guess you can apply that to morality, right? I mean, someone had to invent the wheelbarrow, and someone had to say, "Don't kill that person you've just happened to chance across."
Yeah, or like, you know, the story of the Good Samaritan.
Yes, I was just thinking about that.
Which literally, like, like, I swear to God, my entire school career was being told the parable of the Good Samaritan about once every 2 days.
Yeah.
Endless. But, like, as much as I'm absolutely fucking sick to death of it, it is amazing that, like you say, someone like was a total revolutionary by going, don't let someone bleed to death on the side of the road.
But what I've always found funny about the Good Samaritan is the subtext of the story, because the version we like is the Good Samaritan. A Samaritan is someone who is good. But the whole subtext of the story is that the Samaritans were famously dickheads. And most of them just walked past this guy. But this one, the subtext of the story, I'm pretty sure, is this guy was even a Samaritan. He was from Samarita. And you know those dickheads. You know what those pieces of shit are like. And even he stopped to help this guy. So if a fucking Samaritan, can go out of their way to help someone, I think you can too.
I think the most valuable, like, meta message in the story is that even thousands of years ago, these people who you'd never fucking heard of before today were still obsessed with how much they hated their immediate neighbors who you've also never heard of.
Yeah, exactly. Can you imagine doing a gig in, I don't know, ancient Jerusalem? Or, what would have been coexistent with Samaritan? What even is the town of Samaritium? Damascus. Say you're doing a gig in Damascus.
Okay, yeah.
And then you go, so I was in Samarita, and everyone goes, oh! I bet they helped you out with something, and everyone goes, ah!
So I walked past the Samaritan the other day.
Yeah, so a Samaritan walks into a bar and doesn't get a single round, and everyone's like, oh, it sounds like them. This is how much I miss gigging, Pierre. I genuinely felt just now, oh, I'd love to do a gig in the biblical Middle East.
Like one of those fucking time travel episodes of The Simpsons.
Yeah. Yeah, in like a Futurama or something. I'd love to. No, they don't really go back in time in Futurama.
That's how much we miss gigging, is that we're getting a small spike of adrenaline at the idea of slamming a Samaritan heckler. Where they shout something out saying, oh, you're a Samaritan, aren't you? I don't need your help up here.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, ooh!
What was wrong? Never seen stand-up before? What are you, a Philistine? And, and then the one Philistine in the room is like covering his face. Like,
and when they film it, they have to keep showing shots of Philistines in the audience laughing to make everyone feel like it's okay. I'd love to rip on the Philistines. It'd be so easy. Hey, what are you gonna, a bunch of people so stupid that your nickname is the nickname for people who are stupid.
But then every time a camera fixes on a Luddite, they scream. And they think their soul is being stolen.
Do you think you could ever do stand-up, like... Or do you think one could ever do stand-up to the Amish?
You'd have to shout. The room would need good acoustics, because I'm guessing a microphone's out of the question.
They'd have to rename it, and all the Amish would be like, oh, did you hear there's a new Scream Up show? Oh, yeah, English, there's a new Scream Up show coming to town. And it'd have to be like clean anecdotes about funny things that have happened with agricultural animals and tools.
That is a sort of obvious subtlety that I didn't really notice until I read this book about the history of American comedy, which is, you know, stand-up is like a 20th century phenomenon.
Yeah.
It's only a 20th century phenomenon because it required the invention of the microphone, which I never thought about.
Yeah, that's true. You can't get any subtlety or variation in delivery if you're a bellowing, you know, minstrel.
Well, that's why all comedy before stand-up was, you know, the fucking Shakespeare clowns going, "Well, I doth protest that me balls are blue," or whatever. Just screaming and shitting on the stage, because that's the only way.
It's good stuff.
Genius, absolute genius. It's still better than comedy today.
To be fair, if that came back in the right form, it would win awards.
That's true, yeah. Yeah.
A return to form for comedy at last. The Guardian.
Yeah, truly fearless. Fearless.
Important.
Visceral comedy.
Yeah.
You know what I always noticed about comedy criticism, especially in the UK, and kind of comedy criticism that centers around the comedy festivals of like Edinburgh. Is that, you know, if you're a stand-up and you talk about your dick, people are like, so lazy.
Yeah.
Basic to be talking about your penis. But if you're someone who says you're a clown, a boundary-pushing clown, and you show everyone your dick, 5 stars, brave,
yes.
Visceral. So you're better off showing people your penis in avant-garde comedy than telling them about it. Which is more vulgar somehow.
Yeah, they hate the idea that you've thought about your penis, but if you just fling it in their faces, they clap like delighted toddlers. Like when you jingle keys for a kid, they're as you flap your dick and balls around.
I can't think of a single modern clowning show that hasn't ended with a man naked on stage. Like every single one. And to the point where I'm like, this clowning course everyone, you all talk about, is it just like, dude learns clowning or like striptease? Like every single clown, every modern clown I've ever seen ends their show getting naked.
Do you think, it's like the new ukulele.
That's right.
Getting naked on stage is the new ukulele. And also, do you remember there was a phase where the most scandalous thing an all-male sketch group could do was a really big, like, tongue kiss?
Ugh. Yeah, it's incredibly lame, and it's
what was that? The late noughties.
From time to time, you still see it. Like if there's nothing else to go for, a gay kiss, and it's like an ejector seat.
Yeah,
for a sketch that isn't going well.
The gay kiss replaced dad.
Right. The reveal, yeah, that the person you're talking about is your father. The fucking clown you've been hearing crazy shit from the last 3 minutes is actually your dad. Yeah, that when we were at university, Pierre, you and I, when we were at university, that was sort of the hack way out of a sketch. It was that, you know, because you write a sketch where you're like, so it's about me and I'm talking to a balloon salesman and the balloon salesman thinks the balloons are made of pudding. And I have to try and tell him that I'm not made of pudding. And so for 3 minutes, you're going, those aren't pudding, those are balloons. And the weird character's going, no, these are balloons. Look, they're floating. And you're going, no, they're on the ground and they're melting because they're pudding. And then eventually you get to the end of these 3 minutes and you go, well, I've kind of sort of spent the whole pudding balloon idea. How do we get out of this?
Yeah.
Dad, we miss you. Come home. Huge round of applause. Lights down.
Don't give anyone time to think about why on earth you would bother to debate the merits of pudding balloons with your clearly very ill father. To be fair, if I actually saw that sketch that you just described these days, I would lose my mind.
Well, yeah, now it's like form-breaking, self-referencing, real inside baseball stuff. That's like a comedian sketch, what I've just described.
Yes. Very much so. The dad reveal. That would have to be on in a kind of cool basement during the Fringe, either very early in the morning or astonishingly late at night.
Yeah.
I miss comedy now. It's only taken almost a year. But I think I've decided now that I do miss it.
Yeah, I miss it very much. I miss talking to a room of people, uncomfortable. I've just remembered the time I did pretty raucous gig full of absolute scumbags in Leicester Square. And at one point, a guy was so annoyed with the guy behind him that he just spun around and grabbed him by the neck and started choking him while I was on stage. Like, literally choking him out. And I missed that. I never thought I would, but I missed that. I miss watching one scumbag strangling another scumbag in a scummy room in the scummiest square in London. I miss it.
I miss watching a sort of an Essex lad of some kind on a December night out,
wearing that shirt they all have,
wearing the shirt that they all share, and wearing those chinos where they finish about half a meter above the ankle, with big socks all pulled up and brown leather sort of loafer boat shoe things.
Yep.
Immaculately gelled hair. Bursting out of the toilets of that, probably the same gig in Leicester Square that you're describing, still not even quite putting the bag of cocaine back in his top pocket. With a look on his face that says, I want to have as bad a time as possible.
There are some gigs I look back on now and think, I go, how on earth did I survive that?
Yes.
How on earth did I get any laughs? I feel like a real survivor, you know, when I think of some of the gigs I've done. Jeez.
Yeah, I had the same thing. I was thinking about some of the Christmas gigs I've done in like places like Hereford, where like bouncers had to like drag people out by their heads, and you think, I was on stage telling jokes during that actual like crime.
Yeah, I watched battery. I watched a live choking happen in front of me.
Yeah, yes.
And I stayed on stage. I did my job, Pierre. I did my job. And where's my Thursday night applause? Where's my applause?
I did my time.
Arguably, my applause was that night when I said thank you, good night. But where's my applause now?
And the guy clapped by releasing and re-gripping the man's neck.
He just slapped the guy's neck with his other free hand.
Blop, 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 blop. And the guy was going, well done, you know.
It was all, they both had a great time. Honestly choked him like Homer Simpson chokes Bart.
Oh, fucking hell. Oh, my God. It's insane, isn't it? Do you think after this that comedians will be like Ebenezer Scrooge and will all be so pathetically like grateful and like almost like that kind of American comedian who's just like just great to have the stage time?
Oh, you mean Scrooge post conversion?
Yeah, like we've been visited by the three ghosts of Corona over like a year, and now we're just going to be like so pleased to have even these terrible gigs.
Never underestimate, Pierre, my ability to get bored with something. I think second gig back, I'll be like, oh, fuck this bullshit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, our first gig back, there'll be someone screaming in the front row with coke dust under their nose still because it's their first night out in a year, and we'll just go... We won't be used to the interruptions and the heckles, so we'll go overboard in our reaction. Oh, fuck you! Right to their face.
What are your predictions, Pierre? Where are we going to be? They're saying that all the vulnerables will get their first dose done by mid-Feb, which seems like a big aim to me.
I am really confident in this government's ability to fuck everything up, so...
That's right.
March, I guess, I like The Vulnerables. That's the sequel to Les Miserables.
Yeah, and The Invincibles.
Yeah,
it's the other story of The Invincibles, The Vulnerables.
Yeah, it's a much more harrowing movie, The Vulnerables. A lady who can't stretch. I think maybe like March or something. Like, I think we might start going back to normal in like June, July. It'll be like a repeat of last year, hilariously.
Of course, of course.
What about you? What do you reckon? That's kind of it for me for predictions. I don't see them doing anything sensible. Like, hey, do you remember track and trace? Do you remember how that was supposed to be a thing?
Yeah, it's a laughable idea now. Yeah, with as many cases, like saying I'm going to track and trace every fish in the sea. I was like, okay, good luck.
Do you have any resolutions?
Oh, well, fuck, I completely forgot about my New Year's resolution is to not catch coronavirus this year.
Very good.
I might end up being the only person in the country.
Yes.
It's suddenly become like a rare thing. Like at the start of, like last year, it's like, well, did you know my friend got it. They've got coronavirus right now. And now it's like, I go to people going, I've never got it. I've still not got it. And not only that, I've not got sick once out of anything. Because it turns out all the social distancing stuff works. Because I've not got sick at all. And I'm normally sick at least three times a year.
Yeah, it all works out. I mean, I miss it. When I had coronavirus back in March, Phil, I was like a minor celebrity.
You were. You were going to be on Strictly, weren't you?
I was going to do a dance called The Cough.
They were going to call that series Sickly.
Sickly Come Dancing. Yeah. I don't know if you know The Cough, Phil, but it's one of those like Big Bopper Do the Twist style 50s songs.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The can Bill Bailey would absolutely nail.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Everybody do the cough.
Yeah, and the main move is like moving your fist up to your mouth, right? Each one after the other.
Like, exactly, yeah. And then like and then like bending over and bending back.
Yeah, 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 yeah. And then your partner comes and like slaps you on the back to time.
Yeah, there's a little drum solo on your back. Everybody do the cough like we did last summer.
That's good. I guess it'd be winter for this one.
Yes, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then the lyrics. Like we did
last winter. Yeah.
Yeah, like we did last winter. I can't stop like I can't stop doing the cough ever since I met that really cool man who came here from Wuhan. That whole thing.
That's good. I like that.
Yeah, everybody do the cough.
That's good.
It's a new craze that's sweeping the nation.
Shall we read some correspondence? We haven't in a while. First correspondence of 2021.
Yeah, we'll try and do some up to date stuff, listeners, and we will convene a great conference, a big meeting about the rest of it. We'll figure out a way to finally. I know this is probably the 57th time I've said this, but now with full lockdown back, we'll figure out a way.
We're hosting an emergency Cobra meeting about what to do with all this correspondence.
Yes, annoyingly, our press conference does clash with Boris's, but
But do tune in.
It's the COVID cases graph in England going vertical, but it's our emails. all right, let's read some.
All right.
Ring, letters, emails, phone calls, correspondence.
All right, I have an up-to-date email.
Nice. Now, is this technically the first correspondence of the new decade? Are we going to be those kind of pedants?
Ooh, that's interesting.
I think we've been through this actually on the podcast about something else.
Yeah, when does it start? Surely not, though. Surely it starts after the zero, no?
I remember when I was young, my mother saying, well, actually 2001 is the first year of the millennium, and I got furious.
Is that...
Hey, look, it doesn't matter.
This is like that screenshot of that debate about how old the footballer is on that forum. Do you ever see that?
No, what's that?
So this guy was like, he's 28 or whatever. And then the guy's like, no, he's 27 and a half. And the guy's like, yeah, but he's 28. It's like, no, he's not. And they go, yeah, but, you know, basically, if you round up, he's 28. And the guy's like, yeah, except he's not, though. And there's this whole long debate between these two football fans about some footballer and his age and whether being halfway to an age makes you the age.
That's funny.
Yeah. It's exactly the sort of chat you can imagine keeping you busy on a desert island.
I always feel bad for those people who, like, were getting into all that sort of at-home time-wasting before the pandemic. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you could have done all that now.
Yeah, that's it. You haven't saved it up. You haven't saved it up. But then a lot of these people who've just been going out there and having actual fulfilling time, they don't have the skills to make it alone at home.
This is the other side of the coin. This is the other side. I've got people like to me, what am I going to do? I have to stay at home. It's like, then you stay at home. What? What's the problem?
Yeah, it's like, have you not accidentally spent 5 hours doing various versions of nothing? Come on.
I can do 5 hours on the toilet. Just looking at my phone, having already done my shit at the beginning of the 5 hours.
With numb legs.
Yeah. Easy. They talk about me like a legendary samurai, but about wasting time. They say he can spend 3 whole days just on one level of a game. Because he goes back to hear the dialogue that he wasn't sure he got the first time around.
They talk about me, or they say he pointlessly insists on getting 100% of Steam achievements if they seem plausible enough.
Dude, I even like the achievements, the jokey achievements for being really shit. Like, sometimes you play a game and you die 10 times in a row and you get the fucking stupid clown achievement unlocked for dying 10 times in a row. And part of me is like, ooh, I got the fucking stupid clown award.
Yeah, there's no way to displease the rat brain.
There really isn't.
So we have an email from Jack.
Oh, Jack Spratt could eat no fat, but he sure could write some great correspondence.
Very nice.
Thank you.
Very nice. Dear crappy chappies.
Yes, I've missed this.
Yes. You may recall my last email when I told the tale of my newborn son's first ever poo.
Ooh, remind me.
A pure black bubble.
Oh, right. Yeah. The one that was heavy like a black hole. Like a dying star. Dense.
A pure black bubble that earned him the nickname of Bog Bum Baby in this very pod.
Bog Bum Baby.
Like an evil swamp, yeah.
Well, he's my Bog Bum Baby. He's pooping like crazy.
My baby got a bog bum. He says, well, in the year since, he has grown into a lively little boy, happy and healthy as can be. That's good.
Wow. I don't think we've had, like, a catch-up with a Bud Pod baby.
Yeah. And yet I couldn't help be slightly disappointed by the lack of any more interesting poo stories from the small pooing machine.
Wow, a one-shit wonder.
A bum-shit blunder.
The next level of these always makes no sense.
The next level. Like,
happy poo near to crappy poo smear. It just makes no sense. And this as well. The bum shit blunder. Although I did instantly think of Boris Johnson when you said that.
Yeah, I just like the fact that it makes no sense because it gets to the point where you're essentially talking by just going, poo shit, bum wipe, bum poo. Just pathetic. Stupid.
It sounds like an aneurysm. When you say it, it sounds like you're having a live stroke.
Yeah. This is the final podcast and the rest of the recording is just you trying to call the authorities. So he says, couldn't be slightly disappointed by the lack of any more interesting poo stories from the small pooing machine. There was the time he crapped onto the kitchen floor when being carried naked to the bath, and there's been the odd foul-smelling nappy, but nothing really to write home about.
All right, pot
until
about.
Until today, that is.
Oh, great.
My wife was changing his nappy and noticed that in the nappy was a whole grape.
Wow. Oh, my gosh. Grapes are the cockroaches of the fruit world. They can survive in any environment.
Yeah, this is it. After the apocalypse, it'll just be grapes.
So this baby's making, like, baby wine, basically. It's got his own specialized grape process. That's mad.
Do you think it would make really good wine, like those coffee beans that go through civets?
That's right. Did I tell you about the guy in Saba who told me, like, in his tribe, he talked about this tribal way of preparing deer meat?
No.
So they kill a deer and they feed it to a dog. And then they squeeze it through the dog's digestion system, digestive tract. They squeeze it through. And then they eat it, having sort of ceviche'd it in the dog's stomach acid.
No.
Yes, sir.
Dog vomit deer meat.
Well, it's not vomit because it doesn't come out of the mouth. That would be gross, Pierre. It comes out of its anus.
Okay, as long as it's been covered in vomit and then some shit and then an anus.
That's right. So very similar process to this baby's vinification.
What do you think the dog thinks is happening there?
Well, first, it's over the moon. I can't believe the luck. Wow, all this raw deer meat for me. Mm-hmm. Oh, well, why is everyone watching? You don't have to watch. I appreciate it, but you can go on with your business. Hey, what are you doing? Hey. No, don't squeeze it. I've really fallen. No. Oh, what the heck? What? What are you doing with that? What?
But also, like, it would initially have thought it was a massage. A venison dinner and a massage. That is, how hard is it to light a fucking fire, honestly?
Well, it's very wet in the rainforest, Pierre. Lighting a fire isn't always as easy as you might think.
I would try and light 10,000 fires before I thought of that.
Also, I'd eat raw deer before I thought of that.
Yes. If someone in my tribe said, what if we make the dog eat it and then we push it through the dog out its ass and then we eat it? I would say, you get out of this tribe. We do not need that kind of idea here at the tribe brainstorming session.
There are no bad ideas at the brainstorm, but except that one.
Yeah. Acid-treated dog anus deer meat. It's a bad idea. So he says, in the nappy was a whole grape fully formed. So he goes on, while he does eat grapes, they are always chopped up to prevent a choking hazard. Initially, my wife was concerned. Had she given him a whole grape by mistake?
Or had it reformed?
Had he somehow reached the grapes without us knowing?
Right. Am I the only one who thinks I might have reformed in his stomach?
Like a little jigsaw.
That's right.
Like he'd eaten... these are Terminator brand grapes.
It says here, they will be back. That's good.
But suddenly, he says, a theory formed in my wife's mind, like a grape in a nappy.
Yeah.
I like that.
What's a theory? I'm on the edge of my seat here.
And she hopped onto Google to confirm her suspicions. Now, one of our son's favorite things to eat and something he has on a regular basis are raisins.
Oh! What a theory!
Sitting perfectly in his nappy on the living room floor was a resurrected raisin.
No, that's amazing. Like one of those sort of add water and grow me dinosaurs.
Yes.
That you put in a jug of water.
Yes, and he said caused to swell by the moisture in the turd.
That's amazing. Wow, I wonder what that... Yeah. Fantastic. I guess it wouldn't have looked like... So at first I was picturing like a red grape sort of shiny with skin taut, like fresh grape. But I guess what I was talking about is it's a slightly wrinkled grape, just slightly.
First of all, can I just say it's interesting that I was picturing a white grape.
Very problematic, Pierre, and you need to work on that.
Yes. And also, yes, I was imagining it looking a bit like a party balloon about 2 days after the party.
Yes, that is perfect. That's actually made up for your racist grape assumptions.
Yes, it's important for people to realize that if you're good enough at words and art, it can balance a lot of stuff out.
That's right. You still need to do the work, though, Pierre. You still need to step back and do the work, but that good analogy was a very important step forward.
I've got to step back and do the work and be better, not be taught by anyone, but to do my own. I don't remember the rest of it, but yeah.
You need to learn, but you mustn't ask anyone to teach you.
And yes. Yes.
And you need to do the work.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it shouldn't feel like work.
No, it should feel great.
That's right.
So yes, he says my son had gone from having a bog bum to a magical life-giving poo. It truly is a miracle.
Lazarus baby.
Lazarus baby.
It's a baby. If you have anything broken, you feed it to this baby, and. Of course, the Faustian edge to it is that it comes out in a lump of shit, but it does come out fixed.
Yes. Yes. And until now, the baby is...
This is a repair shop episode I want to see.
This is like... Until the baby is an adult, he will only be able to handle small necklaces, jewelry, that kind of thing.
That's right. That's right. But who knows? With enough training... pianos, cars, in
microchips.
You could probably do microchips now. Very intricate, of course, but size-wise, appropriate.
Yeah, it will take longer for him to digest with his fixing stomach.
That's right, that's right. Yeah. A lot of soldering to do in there.
Magically reviving a grape with your own arse is... It's the sort of thing that, in days gone by, would have had a procession of women wearing shawls queuing up to weep at it.
That's right. Yeah, this baby could start a cult easily.
People would come to visit the bum grape from miles around, and they would whip themselves while walking towards it down country lanes.
I can very much see myself watching a Netflix documentary about, with grainy footage of people lining up to bow at a baby.
Yeah.
Before going, it was unbelievable what he achieved. And then he goes to like the credits, the title credits. Close ups of a grape.
The title would be Risen Raisin. Or yeah, it would be like it would come up as raisin, and then the A would fade out, and it would be risen.
Very good. Yes. Yes. Perfect.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Very good.
And there'd be an interview with like, you know, some kind of like incredibly respected sort of civil rights figure and poet who'd just be like, in a way, it didn't matter if it was real or not. What mattered was the story.
The story. What the baby was offering people. It wasn't money. It wasn't success or fame. It was a second chance.
It was redemption.
And, of course, all the grapes they could eat.
Yeah, yeah. And fresh fruit. Which is good. Yeah, and then I put a black and white picture of the...
They called him Bog Bum. People would line up to see Bog Bum.
Yeah, an interview with the parents. When he was born, he wasn't... He certainly wasn't shitting out fresh fruit.
But we knew that he wasn't a normal baby. We found a poo that was perfectly spherical and perfectly black, and in that moment we knew this is no ordinary baby. This is no ordinary bum.
There's a slow zoom on a black and white picture of like the Pope kissing the grape or something.
Yeah. And that's when things just kind of went crazy, and like the cover of Time magazine is the baby, and
Yeah.
And like the Spice Girls are holding the grape, and
there's a slightly blurred picture of Kanye West trying to steal the grape. So he says, Jack says, have a crappy poo rear and let's hope for a good 20 plenty bum.
Yes, I want to see the crappy poo rear of 2020. That's what I want to see.
Yes, exactly. Oh my god.
Thank you, Jack. That's it's great great update.
Thank you for the update, Jack.
And enjoy the grape, of course. Enjoy the grape. Hope it's delicious.
And enjoy the grape. You've earned it. For God's sake, you've earned it. I will also, anyone listening who can be bothered, if you could Photoshop the Risen Raisin intro scene, that would be great. That would be a great, that's a great opportunity to, but then again, I have Photoshop these days. Maybe I'll start doing little pictures. Who knows? How bored I'll get.
These days, Pierre has Photoshop.
These days, he's finally gone and got it. What a fantastic email to kick off the new year with. Thank you, Jack. That was a real
platonic ideal of a bud pod email. It was poo based, of course. There was a biblical element in Lazarus.
Yep.
We ended up with another great TV show idea. It's a classic, yes. Classic bud pod correspondence.
If we were Americans, we would just be being brought Diet Cokes by a PA in a boardroom constantly.
Yeah, we'd be chained up like the only fertile man in the village to a post, and they would come to us and like poke us with a stick and feed us a bit of bread and water, and they say, what have you got?
Yeah.
And we go,
they'd say,
oh, it's a documentary about a baby that turns raisins into grapes. Please, meat. And they go, thank you. And they walk away.
Yeah. And they'd sometimes bring us the raw materials. They'd go, we found an old man who he's only got one eye, but it's like it's perfect. It's amazing. And he does these tiny sculptures. And then we're just trying to pitch off the back of the various like unusual stuff they've just found.
Yes. Yeah, then we try and give notes as well. Does he have to be old?
I'm thinking a two-part mini-series.
What's the B story here?
Do we have the rights to the music? fucking hell. Well, crappy poo smear, one and all.
Crappy poo smear, everybody. Thanks for sticking with us. We'll there'll be more correspondence, more good times. And I mean, what else are you gonna do? Fundamentally, what else are you gonna do but listen to us piss on, piss about, and fart on about piss and farts?
That's right. Stay safe, guys. Don't get the Rona. Thanks very much.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.